Harry's life had never been easy. From the time he was a child until his early adulthood, Harry was always sick on and off. And then one day he went to the doctor like he normally would, but the doctor found that Harry was more sick than they could have imagined. Harry needed to deal with the question of life and of death. Harry's world was shocked. After numerous doctor's appointments, Harry was soon able to breathe a sigh of relief. It wasn't life-threatening. A number of years had passed, and Harry went to the doctor as he normally would, and the doctor then said to Harry again, "It's not good. We need to talk." The prognosis is life or death. Harry got together with a number of his friends, as he often did. And his friends were the type that when they got together, they sang and they prayed. They'd been through a number of songs, and then they began to sing this. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship his holy name." And then came the words, "And whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes." And Harry could not sing. All he could do was cry. Habakkuk, the passage that we're going to read in just a second, gets Harry's story. And Harry gets Habakkuk's story. Habakkuk is living in a time when things aren't very good. If you've read through the book, you know that. And things are going to get abysmally worse. And yet Habakkuk is reminded, as Harry is reminded, as I hope this morning that we are reminded, that we can learn to be able to sing. Habakkuk reminds us to rest in the story of God, in the person of God, and allow our song to be first found there. And here's how it opens in chapter 3. If you've got your Bibles or you're following on your phones, I'm going to read chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 and 16 to 19, where the word of God says this: "The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry to you violence, but you do not save? I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like that of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." It really does, doesn't it, exemplify chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, "The righteous will live by faith." But I suspect Habakkuk, much like you and I, when it comes to learning to be able to sing, need to work through the issues. There is the thinking approach to faith. It asks a tough question. It deals with the uneasiness not only of the text, but of the situation. Picture what's going on. Habakkuk is dealing with questions. Why does God tolerate evil? Why do good things happen to bad people? Why is there suffering? God, why are you doing this? Those really are our questions, aren't they? They are the thinking component to our faith, saying, "God, this doesn't make sense. I need it to make sense." A thinking faith spots the uneasiness. It tries to make order out of chaos, and it's not afraid to ask the questions. But Habakkuk, much like our own story, deals with the emotional side. And it's still faith. God, I'm angry at you. In fact, I'm ticked. God, all I can do is cry. God, I need to stand back because I don't see your hand in it at all. And yet those are still expressions of faith, aren't they? Because we wouldn't ask the questions, we wouldn't call out to God unless we believed, unless we trusted, unless we knew that God was somehow at work in all of this. It's just that we, like Harry, like Habakkuk, need answers. And that's the tension, isn't it? Between our own perception and faith, where faith doesn't make intellectual sense. Because faith ultimately comes to the place like we, like Habakkuk, like Harry do, where we simply say, God, I simply need to trust you. Here's what he says. I heard and my inward parts trembled, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. You gotta love Habakkuk's honesty. Listen to what he says. My lips or inward parts trembled. My lips quivered. Decay entered into my bones. In my place, I tremble. There wasn't a part of Habakkuk's body that wasn't wrestling with the tension of what is going to come on. Now, why is he's so upset? Because he knows what's coming, right? He knows that the Babylonians are going to come to invade the people of Judah. And it is going to be horrible. And then he says this in the midst of the tension. Though the fig tree will not blossom, there will be no fruit on the vines. Though the yield of the olive will fail, and the fields produce no fruit. Though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there will be no cattle in the stalls. You get what he's saying, don't you? Everything is going to be wasted. There isn't going to be any cattle in the barn. There is going to be no crops. There is going to be no harvest. In fact, the people themselves are going to be taken away. And they're going to be enslaved. In fact, it's so bad, he says, and God, I know it's coming. And now I just simply got to wait. And yet all of chapter 3 is really a song of faith to God. And we don't have to look far before we get on a smaller glimpse the roughness of the text. We look at a world today that is falling apart. You look to the craziness of politics. Just look to the American election and what you're hearing. It's pretty scary. Look to the threat of terrorism and ISIS spreading to various parts of the world and people being filled with fear. Look at the prospects for jobs for our young people coming out of university. They're getting harder and harder. Look at the economic situation of our world, where they're now talking about negative interest rates, where people are buying gold to try to sustain what they believe will be the measure of currency. To Ontario now having a debt greater than that of the state of California. And people wondering if Ontario will become the next Greece. And we look at it and the picture doesn't look very good. And Habakkuk is waiting for all of this to unfold. And he simply invites us to sing in spite of all the circumstances around it. But it's even more personal than that, isn't it? Some of us know the reality of illness. Some of us know the reality of loss of a loved one. Some of us know what it's like where the prospect of employment after all the education doesn't look very clear. We look at the brokenness of our own family and we say, I don't have to wait for the day that he's talking about. It's already here. I can already see it. The calamity is already on me. Margaret Sangster Phippen tells the story of her father, who was a British minister. And he loved nothing more than rallying the troops. He loved nothing more than visiting and preaching. And then one day he was diagnosed with muscular atrophy. And his voice began to not work very well. Eventually he was unable to speak. His bones started to wither away, and for him to even be able to hold a pen was getting harder. And yet he wrote all he could while he could so that he could encourage the church. And then just before he died, he said, "I don't know what's worse, to be able to sing and not sing, or to want to sing and not be able to sing." You see, he knew the story of the one who held him, who held him so securely when the world was falling apart that he couldn't help but sing. And that's where you and I need to find ourselves this morning, when it's hard and when it's difficult. God says to you and I this morning, just keep showing up. That's all I need you to do. I'll take care of the rest. Just keep showing up, and I will show you the story of grace and of mercy and of hope and of peace, that soon you'll be able to sing. Because the people of God needed to hear that. They had heard it over and over again, and yet somehow they had forgotten the mighty works of God. They'd forgotten the story of Genesis 3:15, where one would come who would redeem them. They had forgotten the story of Egypt. They'd forgotten the story of the waters being parted. They'd forgotten the story of Abraham and of Noah. They had forgotten the story of the battles against the Philistines and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Philistines, and the battle after battle after battle. They would forget the story of the promised land. God did all that, but he didn't stop there. Genesis 3:15, God promised the Messiah. Isaiah tells us that in Isaiah 9, that there would one who would be born. He'd be the Son of the Most High. He'd be the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. To which the New Testament tells us of a Messiah being born who would deliver his people. God did all that. To the cross, God did all that, that you and I would be forever his, that we'd be forgiven, that we would know mercy and grace and hope and peace, that we would be able to stand with him. God did all that. And then he died, and he rose again, and he poured out his Spirit, and then he sent the gospel to the ends of the earth. God did all of that. And Habakkuk can only stand there and turn to verse 2 and say this: "I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." I believe what Habakkuk wants for you and I this morning is to be able to be here this morning and say, "God, you are my song. You are my strength. You are my hope." Now, how do you get to that place? We get to that place where we simply say, "God, I can't do it on my own. I can't save myself. I can't solve the problems of the world. I can't solve my illness. I can't solve the brokenness in my family. I can't," you fill in the blank. But he can. And he invites you and I ultimately in our text. Because remember, all the prophets are calling the people back to God, to faith, to trust and obedience. And he's saying this to us this morning: "Will you trust me to be your Savior? Will you trust me to be the one who will deliver you, who will save you for all of eternity, who will forgive your sins? And will you allow me to carry you through the rest? I will rejoice," he says, "not because of all that's going on, but I will rejoice in the Lord." That's where our song begins this morning. We begin to be able to sing because he is the one who saves us. He says, "The Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like that of a hind." If you know anything about a hind's feet, they are able to stand on high, rocky, unstable cliffs and be ultimately secure. And God will do that for you and for me. He will be our strength. He will be the one who gives us the sure, firm footing that we will not slip, that we will not fall, because he holds us, he will sustain us, and he will carry us through. If you and I are going to learn to sing the song of faith, it begins with the story of God. Let me close with three things. Are you and I knowing Jesus? This morning, I hope that if you don't know Jesus, there will be people at the back after the service that would love to pray with you. But do you know Jesus? And by that I mean, do you know where you will spend all of eternity? Do you know the one who not only redeemed Judah, but the one who redeems you and me? Because this morning, God, through the prophet Habakkuk, will tell you that the song begins with our loving God, who sent Jesus into the world to deliver you, to free you, that you might know him and enjoy him forever. The second thing I believe our text tells us is this, is that you and I can look at the blessings that God has given us as you try to learn to sing, of salvation, of hope, of victory with Jesus, of hope, of grace, what we've sung about, of mercy. It's all of that. But the very fact that he not only gives us all of that, but he also gives us breath and life and health and communities of faith. He gives us his word that he will not disappoint, that he will always be with us. That no matter what happens in life, he will carry us through. And then there's the invitation to trust Jesus as our song. As you and I look at the very clear reality of potential of world wars happening again, may God be our song. As you look at the threat of terrorism, may God be our song. As you look at the uncertainty of the economy, may God be our song. As you and I wrestle with issues of health, may God be our song. As you and I look at the difficulties that go around us, may God be our song. Habakkuk's story really is our story. Because we, like Habakkuk, are dealing with the tough questions of life. But what I hope you get this morning is that God will not disappoint. And that God will carry us through. Until the day where he not only takes us home, but when he makes the new heaven and the new earth and everything is the way that he intended it to be. I love Harry. Harry loves to sing. Harry can now sing that song, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And a tear still trickles down his cheek every time he sings that song. Because he's learned that although it doesn't make sense, God's got his back. God's carried him from the illnesses from childhood until the day he goes home. And there's nothing to fear, because the best is yet to come. Amen. We're going to pray in just a moment. And as we do, we want to remember the Rinchmer family and the Veldhoons, as they both are experiencing the loss of a loved one. Rob's dad passed away this past week, and Taya's sister passed away. So we want to remember them, and that God would comfort them and strengthen them, not only during this time, but in the days and the weeks ahead. But as a family of faith, we also want to celebrate with the Valkenburgs. Josh and Cassandra just recently got engaged, and they're here. Congratulations, that's exciting. So congratulations to you. I thought I saw you come in earlier, but yeah, we just want to pray God's blessing, not only on the day, but that God would bless you with a long and a healthy marriage where your marriage can just be a picture of his grace. So congratulations, and yeah, it's exciting. That day will come quick. So why don't we pray together? God, we thank you that you are the God of all goodness and all grace. Lord, we thank you that although there are moments in our lives where we cannot sing, that your story still speaks into our story. And Lord, we just pray that if we're at that place this morning, that we would just keep coming back and back and back to you. And Lord, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not even at the end of this month, maybe not even the end of this year, but maybe it's longer than that, and that we finally can be able to sing. We just pray that you would continue to speak into our heart and our story, that as we hear it, that your grace would shine through, that your grace would bring that healing into our story, that we would be able just to come to the place where we could sing of your abundant goodness, of your abundant grace, not only for us, but for the world. Lord, we thank you for that grace. We thank you that we can celebrate that in a variety of ways. We thank you that we do that with the legacy of faith. And Lord, we just want to pray for the Veldhoun family and the Rinchema family, Lord. We just pray that you would strengthen them. We pray that you would refresh them and comfort them. Lord, we pray for preparations and funerals that will take place, Lord, in the next couple of days. Lord, we just pray that there would be a clear story of faith and of grace and of the God of love, Lord, and that story would speak volumes of healing, Lord, for the family, but Lord, would also speak words of encouragement, Lord, to those who will visit and attend funerals of your goodness and of your grace. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would lay your hand upon the Veldhoons and of the Rinchema family during this time, and Lord, we thank you that you are always with us. Lord, we thank you for those moments in our lives that are exciting. And Lord, we just pray for Josh and Cassandra, Lord, as they prepare for a wedding. We just pray, Lord, that it won't only be for the day, but that it will be for a lifetime. Lord, we just pray that through their preparations, through their ceremony, and through their marriage, Lord, that the story of your love, the story of your grace would shine through. And Lord, we just pray that all the little details would just fall into place. And Lord, we know they always do. And that just this would just be a good time to continue to get to know each other and to live out the story of grace. Lord, thank you for weddings, and thank you for love. And Lord, as we think again of your hand, of your leading, guiding, Lord, we thank you for the healing that you have done in John Balkenberg's dad. Lord, we just pray that recovery would continue, and that, Lord, as he anticipates leaving the hospital soon, Lord, that would be a smooth and an easy transition, Lord, that you would continue to watch over his health, and that, Lord, you would just continue to bless his life. And, Lord, allow that story of faith to continue to be passed on to the next generation, and, Lord, where it can be a witness, Lord, of how you continue to be at work and alive within his life. And, Lord, as we think of that healing, that we pray not only for John's dad, we pray for Lois. Lord, we just pray that as she continues to receive rehab at the local hospital, Lord, that you would continue to grant healing, continue to grant strength, Lord. We thank you for her upbeat spirit during this time, Lord. We just pray that the rehab would be successful, that mobility and stability would be well underway, and that, Lord, her and Howard would be able to be reunited, and that you would bless them with many more years together. And, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the ability to sing. And Lord, if we're on the mountaintop this morning, we just pray that we would run. We would run to you in joy and delight as we continue to sing in our service this morning. And that they'd be expressions of profound faith. And yet, Lord, if we're not there this morning, and maybe we just need to take the words in, would you speak your story into our story? That our faith would be encouraged and that we would be renewed. And that in time we'd be able to sing how great you are. Thank you for your grace. Thanks for loving us. And thank you for coming into the world to not only to give your life, but to rise to new life. For the fact that you poured out your spirit. And you now say to community church, as you do to every church around the world, go into the world and tell the good news of the gospel. May that be our response to the word this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.